Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
As we honor him.
Welcome to the morning show with Preston Scott. I am Preston. That is Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. It's Monday, April the 5th. Great to be with you. Counting down the days to tax day, unless they change it. They did last year, but my hunch is that's not going to happen because the federal government has to have your money. They're spending it before you even pay it.
Extended to May 17th.
You're kidding.
No. From 5 days ago, MSNBC, tax day extended to May 17th.
I'm shocked. Because they need it. They're spending money they don't have. What's a few more days of interest? A few $1 billion more. Verse of the day, Mark 16, verses 4 through 6. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Whew! I get all goose pimply when I think about that. It's just crazy to have been there. But it's credited to those who did not see yet believe, whose faith allows them to embrace the reality of Jesus. And so I hope you had a wonderful Easter. Of course, Raphael Warnock didn't have a very good Easter. He is doing everything possible to backtrack. I'm guessing to keep his job. I don't know. I mean, he's the lead pastor at Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Dr. Martin Luther King was the pastor. If I'm not mistaken, senior and junior. And I just think that they would slap him silly if they heard a man in the pulpit say what he tweeted out. The meaning of Easter is more transcendent than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First, you can stop right there. That is slap across the face for speaking such a thing. But then he goes on, whether you are a Christian or not, through a commitment to helping others, we are able to save ourselves.
Yeah, that's false.
That's heresy.
Yeah, that is heresy.
That is false doctrine. That is heretical speaking and preaching and teaching. And it accounts for why he has deleted that and is doing everything possible to try to backtrack from it. But short of resigning from the U.S. Senate and his pulpit, it won't matter to me. 10 minutes after the hour, it's the morning show with Preston Scott.
And when you want or listen again, the Preston Scott Podcast is at WFLAFM.com.
Should have been better prepared for this, but I've got this sound in my ear of a harmonica and a whistle. A slow, easy kind of speed to it all. On this day in 1860, two young, skinny, wiry fellas were galloping on fast horses across the great western frontier, one headed west, the other east, on the very first run of the Pony Express. Before the Pony Express, it took weeks, if not months, for letters to get between the eastern and western parts of the country. Can somebody tell us what has become of the U.S. mail for this section of the world? That was the Los Angeles Star asking a question in 1853, noting that it had been some 4 weeks since it had arrived. The Pony Express promised delivery between St. Joseph, Missouri, the western terminal of the nation's rail system, and Sacramento, California, in 10 days or less. The Pony Express network was a masterpiece of organizing, covering 1,966 miles with 190 relay stations set 10 to 15 miles apart. A rider carrying up to 20 pounds of mail galloped as fast as he could to the next station, where he leapt onto a fresh horse and headed on. About every 8 stations, a new rider took over. The system used 400 horses and 80 riders. Each was paid $25 a week to face empty wilderness, howling blizzards, scorching sun, and occasional Indian attacks. It is said that a Pony Express advertisement read, "Wanted. Young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18. Must be expert riders willing to risk death daily. Orphans preferred." The first riders left St. Joseph and Sacramento on April 3, 1860. On April 13th, the westbound mail arrived in Sacramento, beating the eastbound delivery by 2 days. 10 days to cross the west was like lightning in 1860. But the era of the Pony Express was to be short-lived, because on April 24, 1861, the Transcontinental Telegraph opened. 2 days later, the Pony Express went out of business and passed into American legend. But it was on this here day, April the 5th in 1860, that it all began. For a brief shining moment on America's landscape in the great frontier, the Pony Express. I have to admit, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty well done. That was spellbinding right there now. Let's see here. Also on this date, 1614, Indian Princess Pocahontas and Jamestown, Virginia colonist John Rolfe are married. Well, happy anniversary. Of course, they're dead now. But happy
long time. Yeah.
Mayflower set sail from Plymouth, Massachusetts to return to England in 1621. You had to have some relatives on board.
Not going back.
1792. Now they might have gone back for supplies.
Yeah.
George Washington cast the first presidential veto, rejecting a bill to apportion representatives among the states. 1933, Dr. Everts Graham performs the first operation to remove a lung in St. Louis. And in 1984, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar becomes the highest scoring NBA player with 31,421 career points, later retiring at 38,387. Whew! 16 minutes after the hour. Do not go anywhere. A sample of what's on my blog page next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
And iHeart's radio station.
All right, I made the mistake of clicking on something on YouTube, and I'm just a basket case now. About a year too old, Southwest pilot was able to bring back the remains of his dad from Vietnam. His dad, he said goodbye to his dad when he was 5 years old at Love Field in Dallas. His mom, his sister, himself, I think it was his sister, they said goodbye to him, and shortly thereafter, he was shot down, and whether he died as a result of the shoot down or died as a result of being in enemy hands, don't know, but they were able to identify his remains and bring him home, and he was able to bring his dad home.
Oh, geez.
And to Love Field in Dallas.
That'll set you off first thing in the morning.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, okay. So, let's do something else here. Speaking of airplanes and our nation, we all know that the mainstream media is right now in a complete protection mode of Donald Trump. We knew it was going to happen. They protected him during the campaign. They killed the Hunter Biden story. They killed any serious Q&A with him. They kept him from being exposed. Intellectually, they kept him from being exposed in any way, shape, or form. And I have mentioned to you how the international media in the West, and by the West meaning democracies, people that believe in freedom, how they are just, how can you people not see this in reference to the mainstream media? A listener pointed this out to me, and so I've got it on my blog page. And I'm just going to play a clip of this is Alan Jones from Sky News Australia. And he picks up in his commentary after Joe Biden stumbled multiple times getting onto Air Force One just once.
Well, look, in many ways, it's quite sad. He stumbles three times. Trump talks about media bias and that in relation to Biden, quote, the press protect him. Well, after the stumble, the websites of MSNBC, CBS News, The Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and The New York Times all had no mention of Biden's stumbling incident. To prove the Trump point when it came to airtime on television, CNN devoted 15 seconds to the incident. But when Trump walked slowly down a ramp after he delivered a graduation address last June, CNN devoted 22 minutes to Trump's walk, the media pushing the line that Trump at 74 was facing serious health questions. This is the same Biden who addressed Kamala Harris as President Harris the other day. The same Biden who, during the presidential campaign, said he was running for the Senate. He was running for the Senate, not the presidency. Well, now have a look at this.
With regard to the filibuster, I believe we should go back to a position of the filibuster that existed just when I came to the United States Senate 120 years ago.
What? 120 years ago? You're kidding me. When he was in the Senate 120 years ago. Then he said this.
And that is that it used to be required for the filibuster, and I had a card on this.
What the hell does that mean? Not long after that, listen to this.
So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway, we're going to get a lot done.
What? I mean, this is the President of the United States of America, who's illiterate, incoherent, cognitively deficient, and the leader of the Western world. It is an insult to those who fought for democracy.
The rest of it is on my blog page.
I think the only thing that I would take issue with was the 120 years. I think Joe Biden was making a joke about himself. I honestly do. Everything else, though...
No, he actually wasn't. He wasn't. He just, he was talking about maybe a change that happened in the filibuster 120 years ago. He wasn't making a joke.
He wasn't joking that I've been here so long,
no,
it's felt like 120 years.
No. In context, no.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
He wasn't, he just, when I came to the Senate 120, and you know, no, his face, that's why you got to see it.
Okay.
It's all there. WFLAFM.com/Preston. Go to my blog page. It is waiting for you. Alan Jones's commentary is just brilliant. Just brilliant. 27 minutes after the hour. Come back with the big stories in the press box and more.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
Beep. What's up, Doc?
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
That young man over there is Grant Allen. I am here in the studio known as Studio 1B. He's over there in 1A, and I'm quite a bit older than he is. And I'm Preston Scott. It's great to be with you this morning. It's Monday on the Morning Show, April the 5th, show 4440, and day 74 of America held hostage. Big story in the press box, the decision by Major League Baseball to pull the plug on the All-Star Game in the ATL. A few things that I think are worth noting about this next victim of the cancel culture. And I've talked about it in my commentary, which you'll catch if you listen to the show or the station routinely. Rob Manfred made the announcement just a day after the start of the season, so... You know, we barely got things started, and then boom. He did it because of the alleged abuses in the voting law in Georgia that will inhibit voting. Quoting the commissioner of baseball over the last week, "We have engaged in thoughtful conversations with clubs, former and current players, Players Association, Players Alliance, among others, to listen to their views. I've decided the best way to demonstrate our values as a sport is by relocating this year's All-Star Game and Major League Baseball draft. Major League Baseball fundamentally supports voting rights for all Americans and opposes restrictions to the ballot box. Fair access to voting continues to have our game's unwavering support. Well, clearly the commissioner didn't read the law. Commissioner Manfred is being bullied by the cancel culture or his own virtue signaling, whichever you want it to pick. Try to seem like he's hip and woke. But what he's just done and there are some sports that you could argue, you know, conservatives in the country make up maybe half of the audience, maybe a little bit more. In baseball, probably 80%. Baseball's different. Just is. And the commissioner has managed to offend the overwhelming majority of not just baseball players, or rather fans, but players. Players are not in agreement with this. The voting laws in Georgia, we've recounted. We've talked about the fact that if anything, they are more restrictive than even where baseball headquarters is located, New York. What's interesting is that Rand Paul points out, I think very accurately, that it seems as though there is an implication here that people of certain races are not able to comply with voting laws because they're not smart enough. It is an insult to people of color. By the way, I'm a person of color. My color just happens to be kind of olive. But you get my point. Historically, people of color, the idea, the implication by all of this is that they're just too stupid to handle voting laws that everybody else abides by. But it goes further. Coca-Cola jumped into the fray. We'll get to that next on The Morning Show.
Something your mom would say you should do because everyone else is doing it. You're listening to The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
We're talking about Major League Baseball falling victim by its own decision-making to the cancel culture. Rand Paul pointing out the implied insult that exists to minorities in the midst of this. Then Rand Paul got to Coca-Cola telling people to apologize for being white, apologize for being arrogant, apologize for all these things supposedly that white people are doing. That's a very racist sort of philosophy in this woke sort of critical race theory, but it's now infected a publicly traded company. When they start saying things like that, they're actually going against what their mandate is. Their mandate is to maximize profit, but now they are turning off 40% of the country who don't really want to be woke up and told we're horrible people. But I'd rather focus on this piece of hypocrisy demonstrated by Coca-Cola. Let me read from the requirements that Coca-Cola pushes out to attend the shareholders meeting. Now, Coca-Cola notably is against voter ID. Yet it says that at entrance to the meeting, we will verify your registration and request to see your admission ticket and a valid form of photo identification, such as a driver's license or passport. So Coca-Cola requires greater security controls to attend its shareholder meetings than it wants citizens to have to vote in elections. I really don't think I need to say anything more than that. Here's the fun part of it all. You ever read those stories of the bomber the terrorist that's putting together his bomb vest, and it detonates on him, blows him up. All his buddies up. They're in the little assembly area, and they're carefully putting together a device, and it trips, and badoosh, they're gone. I rejoice in that. I'm not happy that there are evil people in the world. I'm happy that evil people kill themselves before they kill others. If they're going to go and kill people, I'm just fine with their devices blowing up on themselves. And so here's what's happening in Georgia. Stacey Abrams, Raphael Warnock, John Ossoff, they are all begging the cancel culture not to boycott Georgia. Let me quote from Miss Abrams. To our friends across the country, please do not boycott us. I understand the passion of those calling for boycotts of Georgia following the passage of SB 202, but here's the thing. Black, Latino, AAPI, and Native American voters whose votes are the most suppressed under SB 202 are also the most likely to be hurt by potential boycotts of Georgia. The explosive is blowing up in the face of the terrorists. I love it. Now, I'm sorry for all of you in the Peach State that are going to be hurt by this. You put John Ossoff into office. You put Raphael Warnock into office. You've given Stacey Abrams some measure of credibility when she's an incredible disaster of a person. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you get. Because right now, the cancel culture is coming for Georgia. And like the minimum wage, the people they claim they want to help are going to be the ones that are hurt the most. 46 minutes after the hour.
Star of the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Tallahassee Police Chief Lawrence Revel in just a little bit. Dr. Joe Camps joins us. Hour 3, Sal Nuzzo, James Madison Institute. Legislative session just past the halfway mark, and things will get interesting now.
The horse trading begins.
MSNBC. In the hours subsequent to the attack at the Capitol on Friday, where a car drove into a barricade, dude jumped out, stabbed and killed a Capitol guard, Capitol Police, injured another before he was shot and killed. MSNBC, 2 o'clock, Katie Turr reports. NBC News Justice Correspondent Pete Williams provided reporting that the then unidentified subject who had just died, quote, the question now is, what's the condition of the Capitol police officers who were injured when the man, we're told it was a white male that was driving the car, when the man got out and attacked police officers with a knife? We're told. By who? Who told you? Because it wasn't. It was a black male. But none of that matters. It really doesn't. The only reason I mention it was a black male is to point out the factual error, because they insisted on throwing something out because they wanted to trap themselves into a narrative. Trap themselves. That's what they wanted. I wonder how much time MSNBC is going to spend on the fact that he was a Nation of Islam follower who referred to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as the Exalted Christ. who is a follower of Farrakhan, Louis Farrakhan, the man who refers to himself in the third person in a love affair that has no end. And Farrakhan believes of the termites. One of the most bigoted, hateful, evil men on the planet. I mean, evil is evil, but he's got it bad. It's just, now to me, I don't care that he was a Nation of Islam follower. I don't care that he's black or white. I don't care. Really, it doesn't matter. But you have to push back against the narrative. And so you should know that a wiki page was created that details, for example, mass killers who use guns. Four or more victims at one time, or within a span of a few moments or hours. 2019, for example, less than 25% happened to be white. I'm just saying. Less than a quarter are white males. Mass shooters, 2019. Just saying. Just liberal media will tell you it's an epidemic. White men, guns. Except the truth is that that's not the case. It just isn't correct. Ilhan Omar said, well, it would have been worse if he'd had an AR-15. Not necessarily. Had a guy crashed the gun and been seen coming out with a gun, he'd have been shot immediately. So I don't necessarily agree with that. And we'll certainly talk about that with Charlie Strickland later this week in our personal defense segment. We got about three different news stories we're going to spend some time on. This is one of them. Knives are more stealth-oriented than guns in most circumstances. Chief of Police Lawrence Revel with me next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. The Morning Show with Preston Scott, Monday, April 5th. Beautiful, great weekend weather-wise. Oh, my goodness. It's a beautiful weekend. Great. I hope you had a wonderful set of Easter services. If you attend church, I hope you really took it in and enjoyed it because, boy, you saw God's creation at its best. Just remarkable. God just turned it loose and loved the weather. It reminded me of sunrise services over the years, just how crisp and cool. We can almost count on it, Chief.
Absolutely. It was beautiful.
Yeah, there's always right around Easter, a little chill comes right back, and I love it. Yeah, I love it. Did you have a good weekend?
Fabulous weekend. Yeah. Outstanding.
Well, we always chat while we're not on the air. There's so many things to talk about. Last time you and I visited, we've talked and we've at times even joked about the recruiting effort and maybe right. Putting some billboards up in cities where they're learning a painful lesson. And before we get to the recruiting and how it's going, it is apparent because across the country where they've gone under these rash defund the police movements and cut budgets, crime is exploding.
Absolutely.
There is a direct correlation to amount of money spent and what you can do crime-wise in a community.
There absolutely is. And you know, the city does an outstanding job of dollars per officer, dollars per amount of crime. When you look at us comparatively to other cities, we rank right at the top of the most efficient in that. So it makes a difference.
How do you find the sweet spot? I mean, from an absolute dollars and cents perspective, where are you able to kind of categorize, okay, for every dollar we spend, this is what we get in return as it relates to an outcome in the community? Or can be that, can it be that sophisticated? I don't know.
And maybe it can.
Right.
I don't know if there is. There's definitely a direct correlation between the number of officers we have and the ability to make our community safer. That's why we recruit so heavily, because we know we need more officers. We know to do the job effectively and to not burn out the officers that we currently have, we need more to do that. So, you know, that's the reason we recruit so aggressively. That's the reason, you know, we're pushing for many more officers. That's the reason, since I became chief, you've heard me say we need 700 officers, you know, and people look at that and go, that's double what you have now. But, you know, when you talk to people on the street and you ask them questions about how many officers do you think are working in Tallahassee right now? Consistently, you'll get the answer of, I don't know, 100, 150. And they're shocked when they understand that there's 20. You know, on a good day, you know, we have 81 officers right now, I think it is, you know, 400 positions. But when you divide them up, when you have investigations on top of that,
and they can't work 24 hours a day.
No, there's three shifts, two rotations, so six different shifts. So yeah, when you divide that up, you know, there's 20 officers working the city at a time. And they do a phenomenal job, you know, working and keeping crime down, and solving crimes. Our investigators do an incredible job, but you know, again, I go back to statistics, and statistics say to do community policing effectively, you know, we should be double the number we are. And so it's just a recruiting effort right now.
How is it going?
It's going very well. We actually hired 29 people last year. Now we lost, you know, a bunch to retirement.
So what was your net gain, if any?
I think our net gain was 12, but don't quote me on that.
I understand.
Yeah. 10 to 12.
Okay.
You know, which is progress for, you know, because a couple of years, you know, we were hiring around the 2019-20. But we were also losing 18-19, so our net gain was small. So this year, that pushes even more, and we hope to expand that, you know, because we're always looking at how many we're losing to drop and retirement.
Yeah, you've got attrition that you have to counter as well, so your net gain might be 10 to 20 a year,
right?
Maybe. So in essence, you're short maybe a couple 300 officers from where you feel like we ought to be if our population stays roughly where it is.
Correct. And our
That's
call
a big
volume.
If.
And call volume.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the chief of Tallahassee Police, Lawrence Rebel, with me. We're going to pick up right there. 10 minutes past the hour, check of weather and traffic, ironically.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Beck. He's always been a white guy.
Glenn Beck.
Right.
We got it.
Licensed to talk. 9 to noon on WFLA.
Tallahassee Chief of Police Lawrence Rebel with me talking about recruiting, finding the officers. And we've talked probably the ears off of the listeners, Chief, over the last year of meeting about how law enforcement has a target on its back every day when you do what you do. But now in a broader sense, there are those that believe that police are the evil of a community when they are in reality standing between us and evil. So where are you finding success recruiting?
You know, the probably greatest success we've had is expanding our take-home car program to allow some of the areas around us, the smaller areas, even up into Georgia, to come and work. You know, there's people that you know, want to work. They want to work for the you know, the benefits and the salary that we have. And the equipment that we have, many agencies, they have to buy all their own equipment, and their salaries just aren't anywhere close to ours because it's such a small community. So they will come and work in Tallahassee, just like many state workers, you know, that don't want to necessarily live in the city.
Well, it's like the hospital. You know, TMH is the regional hospital for a reason.
Yeah. And so having a lot of success there, having a lot of success with the, you know, the bonuses, you know, up to $11,000 in signing bonuses. That's been very successful. So we're having more success right now with pre-sworn officers than we are recruiting new officers.
What's the HERE campaign?
That is basically a new campaign. You know, we brought Alicia Turner in, you know, for our communications and marketing, and she's doing a phenomenal job. And it's basically saying that we are here for you. And you know, the there's so many things that our officers do each and every day, and you and I have talked about some of those things and the meals that they take people, the bicycles that they, you know, they buy kids and gloves and balls and, you know, just things like that that happen every single day where our officers are here for our community.
They just see needs on a routine basis and try to find a way to meet them without.
And they do meet them without any fanfare.
Yep.
You know, without any praise. You know, and so one of the things when I brought Alicia in was, you know, to say one of your main jobs is to highlight that. Really to get the message out of what we do and to get the message out of the programs that we have. People are shocked, you know, when they hear about all the different things we do, you know, with the Powell leagues, you know, and RAD defense classes and, you know, Citizens Police Academies and recruit. I mean, the I just forgot what they're called. The cadets. Sorry.
Gotcha.
You know, the cadet program. I mean, there's just literally 30, 40, 50 different programs, you know, that we have for our community,
mm-hmm.
That we run, and people are just shocked, you know, because they're like, you need to do that. I'm like, well, we already do that. You know, you need to do that. Well, we already do that. You know, you need to have a league where you bring kids in and the officers play with them, you know, and coach them. And well, we already do that, you know? So part of the HERE campaign is just getting that message out that we are truly here for you. And you know, not just here when you call us, be here when you call us. But we're also here in the community helping to make the community better.
Final 30 seconds before we take a break. Is it fairly normal now back at TPD with regard to COVID?
We're getting there. I put an email out the other day. We're having everybody come back full time, May 17th. People at that point will have had the opportunity. Everyone will have had the opportunity to get the shots and the time necessary to let that take effect. And if, you know, at that point, we're coming back full time.
I'll ask you just a short answer. The same thing I asked Sheriff McNeil on Friday. Is it time to ask the county commission to do away with the mandate and give you a better shot at seeing everybody that's coming in and out of stores and banks and so forth?
Well, that's a longer answer, but I'll say probably not quite yet.
He's the chief of Tallahassee Police. We'll come back with more with Lawrence Revel next on The Morning Show.
WFLA at WFLAFM.com on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos, and iHeart's radio station.
Final segment with Tallahassee Chief of Police Lawrence Revel. Always enjoy our monthly visits. I asked you in the break, my brother was a retired St. Paul police officer and worked the same neighborhood on foot for 25 years.
Right.
Old school policing where everybody knew Officer Pat, and Officer Pat knew everybody that was in and out of that neighborhood. Is that type of policing possible anymore?
It is. And when we, at least when I, talk about community policing, that is exactly what I'm talking about. Now, you know, our officers are in cars and, you know, they're going to drive around a lot more. But, you know, when we get the staffing to where it needs to be, when I talk about 700 officers and the ability, you know, to only spend 45% of your time answering calls for service instead of 85% of your time answering calls for service, that other time is spent doing just what you're talking about. That other time is spent getting out and walking around the neighborhood, having conversations with people. You know, officers right now are, you know, they don't want to get too far away from their car because they know that next call is coming in, if they can even get out of their car, you know, at all.
Sure.
So, you know, the number of officers that we need is directly related to doing community policing well. But you're absolutely right. Community policing is all about getting out and walking the beat and knowing the people in your neighborhood, knowing who belongs there and who doesn't, you know, knowing, you know, Miss Smith and sitting on the porch with Miss Smith and Miss Smith telling you, you know, that Johnny or Bobby, you know, are good kids and, you know, or Johnny and Bobby are, they're always into trouble, you know?
Right. Or you see a car that you don't recognize and people just sort of hanging around, you tap on the window and saying, what you up to?
Right. And you know, the biggest part of that is that communication that occurs and that openness, that trust of that officer.
Positive reinforcement of the relationship.
And the people with the knowledge of what's going on in the community and even in crime will come talk to Officer Pat because they know Officer Pat.
Absolutely.
And they trust Officer Pat. They may not trust the institution. You know, they may not
but
trust
law enforcement. But he's one of the good guys. But
exactly. They trust him. And that's where community policing is so effective.
Is it clear cut that type of policing leads to reduced crime?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I lived that for 5 years on the cop squad. I know that that's the way policing needs to be done. You see the direct result of that. Many quality of life issues can be addressed much more effectively. You know, we always have those partnerships with code enforcement and, you know, and other city departments to work hand in hand, you know, to address city neighborhood issues. There's a direct relation to crime and the reduction of crime.
The Dan Markell case, somewhat back in the news, the former FSU law professor that was murdered in his garage 7 years ago this July. His parents were testifying, mom in particular, Ruth Markell, before Senate subcommittee last week. We had a member of the group, you know, Justice for Dan, on the show talking about that. And so it just kind of got back into my mind. Is that case being actively worked still?
It is. It is. We, you know, one of the things that we've really been, if you want to call it successful, I call it successful, in doing is we have brought back a lot of our reserve or a lot of our retired officers. You know, we have some investigators that just, our current ones are incredible, you know, but we have people that spent their entire careers in investigations and loved it and were phenomenal at it. And we brought them back, as reserve officers. And they're working a lot of our cold cases and a lot of the other type cases like that, so they can spend that time and that expertise in them. So, you know, the Markell case is definitely continuing to be worked. You know, we're looking at every angle that can be. I know you and I talked about that a little bit, you know, offline. But, you know, the unresolvedness of that case, you know, our investigators long to bring closure
absolutely
to the families, and that's really what it's all about.
Thanks so much for making time for us.
No, I enjoy being here.
Appreciate it. Safety to you and all of your colleagues at TPD. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lawrence Rebel, Chief of Police, with us this morning. We come back. The big story in the press box, Major League Baseball pulls out of the ATL, the All-Star Game. And yet, ironically, the cancel culture is hurting their own people in Georgia. And we'll talk about the irony of that next on The Morning Show.
Everything you need. Truth and entertainment. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Five minutes after the hour, The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Yeah, the big story in the press box. I'm not delighting in the misery that's coming to the Peach State. I mean, what's your take on all this, G-Man? It's remarkable to me that the Stacey Abrams of the world in the Peach State are crying about the culture they have helped cultivate.
Well, the irony is overwhelming. And it's quite hysterical, to be honest with you. But I love baseball, so it makes me sad.
Yeah.
Like, geez, come on, guys. way to alienate most of your base, as you pointed out, too. I don't know what the exact statistics are.
Yeah, no one would really know, but...
But I would think baseball fans are overwhelmingly from a certain stock. And they love this country. They love
They're traditionalists.
Anthem. Right.
That's the point of baseball. Allure of baseball. The history, the stats, the records.
The same game that's been played basically since the 50s, 60s? That's why we like baseball. And so it's just annoying that baseball has stooped to the level of what... When most of us were so frustrated with the NBA and the NFL for so many years, baseball and like NASCAR were these like mainstays. Like, don't do it.
And they did.
They did.
And it's based on ignorance. The voting laws in Georgia are more onerous and, or rather, sorry, are looser, less onerous than New York, where Major League Baseball's headquartered. Boycott your own state, Rob, meaning the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. But I would love for him to prove me wrong, that he's read the law. Because if he ever sits down and reads the law and sees the expansion of voting opportunities, he will be embarrassed of himself. Even if he never, ever admits it publicly that he was wrong. Because that's the answer. They're wrong. John Ossoff begging the newly minted U.S. senator from Georgia begging baseball. Oh, please don't. Please don't. Please don't. Stacey Abrams. Oh, no, don't hurt our state. I know you mean well, but you'll hurt the very people. No. This was the inevitability of the cancel culture. The inevitability of, and I liken the cancel culture to terrorists. The terrorists making their own vest bombs and they blow up on them in the factory. And blow themselves to smithereens. Unintentionally. That's what this is. This is the cancel culture now blowing up itself. They're blowing up the film industry, blowing up sports industry. Coca-Cola's going to feed on itself. Awesome. Coca-Cola jumps in, slamming the idea of voter ID. Yet Coca-Cola requires a driver's license or a passport to enter the shareholders meeting. Oh, the deliciousness of that irony. That's not cherry and vanilla mixed together. That is political correctness and the cancel culture in a beautiful toxic drink that Coca-Cola is forcing upon itself. Coca-Cola. Now, here's the thing. Coca-Cola might be buoyed by this a little bit. There might be some wokesters out there that buy themselves a little bit of Coca-Cola as a result. But the big-time investors that control their own portfolios aren't heading to Coca-Cola, and it's a publicly traded company. It's just, it's about time the cancel culture took down its own. And that's what we're watching. 40 minutes past the hour, Dr. Joe Camp's Healthy Expectations next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
News first. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Remember, if you want to share a thought on anything, it's Preston at iHeartRadio.com. Wow, I feel good. Hope you're feeling good. I'm feeling good. Hope you're feeling great. If not, you need some healthy expectations. And so we turn to Dr. Joe Camps. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you, Preston?
Man, I'm awesome. How are you?
Did you have a great Easter? I hope you did.
He is risen.
Yes, it was great. Had a powerful message yesterday at our church. But, you know, one of the things we've been talking about, obviously some controversies with vaccinations. I'm not going to talk about coronavirus, but just a report on a health issue, particularly in women, as it relates to the human papillomavirus. Now, I'm not sure if our audience knows about that, but certainly it's a precursor to cervical cancer and to cervical dysplasia in women. And they've seen about an 80% drop in new infections. And I found that to be quite interesting because this HPV virus would basically lead to the dysplasia as well as cancers in the anal genital region and also dysplasia of the cervix and in some men warts. I remember, you know, having worked years ago, that was a real big problem, but we don't see it anymore. And so I thought that was great information for women. Certainly we've had some evidence that the herd immunity has taken place, but this has been ongoing now for over 18 years. So this has been a long term issue. I'm not saying that to relate to coronavirus, but certainly this is something obviously with sexual promiscuity that we're seeing these days. HPV transmission was quite rampant over the last 5 to 10 years, and certainly it's rewarding to see that this has been a successful effort. And one of the good news that we can talk about, and basically this was something that was quite controversial. And as you know, it seems like whenever we deal with any type of virus in terms of being a protective in a vaccination format, it's something that generates lots of controversy. But good news here, particularly for women, certainly declines in cervical dysplasia and cancer, and that's rewarding news. And we're going to be trying to talk about more things in a positive way other than the negative consequences that usually come with medical reporting. So that's what we have in store today. Hope that it's useful information for our audience, and look forward to speaking with you again, Preston.
Joe, thank you very much. You know, I think what happens is people understand that viruses are kind of like grasping at mist sometimes. But we sometimes forget that polio being one of the leading examples of the fact that vaccines, given time, can come along and eradicate things from the landscape of our public health.
Yes, and you know, if you look at all of this, and I know we've all been through trying times, but we have, and I say we, I'm thinking globally, have dealt with these issues now for a number of years. I just think that there was so much media attention today. You know, anything that happens in the world or in our country, there's a media blast, and it's I don't think people had access to that kind of information, and certainly the media blast that's somewhat controversial at times is those little black and blue devices that we all hold in our possession. Sometimes you can get misinformation and false information, so be careful with what you read. Make sure you're reading scientific data and things that are very useful and beneficial. So that's what I have today, Preston. Hope you have a good week.
Thank you, sir. You do the same.
All right. Take care, Preston.
All righty. Dr. Joe Camp's with us. Healthy Expectations, 46 minutes after the hour.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Does this without caffeine? The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
You've heard my explanation. Good morning. Morning Show with Preston Scott. Grant Allen over there, Studio 1AM here in Studio 1B. You've heard my explanation over the years that it is my contention that most Democrats in elected office have no clue about how to run an economy. Because even Democrats that are in business, liberals, understand conservative economic principles are the things that keep them open, operating. When you hear the business leaders out there saying, you know, we ought to be taxed more, they say that if they're foolish enough to do so, because they know as a cost of doing business, it will be passed on to consumers. Businesses are never hurt by taxes. You are. And then businesses are hurt. Businesses are hurt because then you say, yeah, well, it's too expensive to drive or fly or fill in the blank. Because, for example, fuel prices impact the price of everything on every shelf in every store in America. And so, as prices rise, people buy less. It hurts business. But the business doesn't pay the tax. I mean, technically they do, but you pay them to pay it. It's a pass-through for them. So, when the Council of Economic Advisors Chair, Cecilia Rouse, on CBS's Face the Nation, tells anchor Margaret Brennan that the proposal to increase the corporate tax rate from 21, still too high, to 28% or potentially higher. Rouse said Biden's $2 trillion spending plan is good for the economy and increasing corporate taxes is, quote, the right thing to do. Brennan then, I mean, I was shocked. Gal Powell from CBS says, this is 15 years of higher taxes to pay for 8 years of spending. Can you really say that's not a cost? 15 years of higher taxes to pay for 8 years of spending. What do you do after you've, what do you do then for the next 8 years? If you're taxing at a rate for 15 years to try to cover 8 years of spending, what do you do after those 8 years are over? But see, Biden's out of office then. What does he care? Well, he's going to be out of office long before then. President Harris knows that. But what I did is I went and looked at Cecilia Rouse's resume, her professional resume. Dean of Princeton School of Public and International Affairs. Professor in Economics of Education. That's what it says. The Professor in the Economics of Education. Founding Director of the Princeton University Education Research Section. Member of the National Academy of Education. Research Associate of the National Bureau of Economic Research. Editor of the Journal of Labor Journal of Labor Economics, Senior Editor of The Future of Children, Member of the Board of Directors and a Director of T. Rowe Price Equity Mutual Funds, Advisory Board Member T. Rowe Price Fixed Income Mutual Funds, and now she's Chair of the Council of Economic Advisors. You know what she's never been? A business owner. And that's what you see over and over and over inside the Beltway. The people making policies that impact your businesses have never, ever run one. They don't sign the front of a check. They only sign the back of one when they cash your check that you give them as a taxpayer. It just further cements the point. Democrats don't understand economic principles. Sal Nuzzo next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. fast-moving Monday, as they always are here on the Morning Show with Preston Scott. I am literally turning the page on the rundown. Oh, there it is. So that's who you are. You're Sal Nuzzo with the James Madison Institute.
I go by many names.
Uncle Sal. Uncle Sal walks in here.
That's the least offensive one of them.
Yeah, I know about that. I get those things, too. He comes in each and every Monday morning during the session, and we talk about what's going on, so let's not waste any time, sir. The governor, boy, he has been target ground zero, hasn't he?
Yeah, the left have figured out that he's the guy to beat, I think, in 2024, and so the narrative begins.
But...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He's not your typical guy to pick on.
No, he's not. And he has this this attitude, good or bad, that is kind of basically bleep the torpedoes. And he says, I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to bow down to what the culture may, kind of in the entertainment and media space, might claim about me. And
the thing, I know we're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. What I enjoy about how Governor DeSantis handles the rhetoric that is thrown against him is that he counters it with facts and not personal attacks.
Yeah, he usually comes to either a press event or an event of some sort with facts and figures and statistics that are able to kind of combat that. I think maybe the constructive criticism that some may claim that is that in delivering those, he sometimes kind of gets emotional, and I don't fault him for that.
He's a human.
Exactly. So, but he frequently has, as they like to say, he's brought receipts to the match.
He's a JAG guy.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about what the governor pushed out.
Sure. Last week he made a proposal to use some of the COVID relief funds to give teachers in the state a $1,000 bonus, not an increase in their pay, but mm-hmm. a $1,000 bonus. Those funds are non-recurring, and that's why. Of course, the Florida Education Association has come out publicly to denounce this. I do not understand how an organization is able to exist and do such bad for the people.
It's membership.
Yeah, it's membership. It just never ceases to amaze me. But
unions are never in favor of their own members. They're in favor of itself.
Yeah. So they came out against it. Go figure. And the only thing I can think about is because Ron DeSantis is a Republican. He also did sign the COVID relief liability bill. And he got it Monday morning, shortly after we had our segment. He scheduled the press event to sign it. I think it was like at 1 o'clock that afternoon.
Yeah, he didn't want to conflict with our show.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sure that was the case. So that went there. And then the notable thing that I'm going to be interested to see how it plays out is he did sign an executive order that kind of banned vaccine passports. It was a little bit more expansive, I think, than most people were expecting it, because it also included a ban on businesses requiring it. So I'm just kind of interested to see how this one plays out.
You're thinking he had to thread the needle, and you're curious as to whether it's challenged.
Yeah, whether it's challenged, and what is the balance between allowing a business to determine what they want in terms of their patronage versus a person's private health information. So it's one I do not have the answer to.
Yeah.
I think it's we're in kind of uncharted territory, and it's something that we're going to have to and credit to him for actually getting the conversation going on this, because I think otherwise you let anything kind of fill the void. But I'm interested to see how it plays out.
Budget wise, what happened?
Well, it looks like we've got a $95 billion budget on the Senate side, a $97 billion budget on the House side. Both have kind of done the preliminary votes through to get them into the posture where they begin to conference and do all of the things that go back and forth between the two chambers. Both use the $10 billion in federal funds. from COVID relief. The House has got a little bit more detail on where that $10 billion would go. But even so, expect some pretty substantial cuts in various agencies to kind of come down the road, because a lot of that money is going to be going to things like increased Medicaid enrollment because of the pandemic, economic issues, and such.
Sal Newsom with the James Madison Institute, my guest. More to come on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Yeah, baby.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Sal Nuzzo with the James Madison Institute, where he is vice president of policy, but he's president of legislative policy here on The Morning Show.
The bar is very low.
Nope.
The bar is very low.
Wow.
Yeah.
That hurt.
No, that's on me. That's on me.
No, it's actually on me. The bar is very low if I'm the president of your facility.
Oh, come on.
The budget. How do we put it in context?
Sure. And this is something that I think is very important, because the budget itself is incredibly lean and has been for a very long time. So any cuts that are going to be coming, they're not going to be kind of, they're not trimming the fat. They're at the bone almost, because if you look at it in context, Florida's budget about $90-some billion a year for about 23 million Floridians is roughly half of what the budget is for the state of New York that actually has less citizens. So when you think about kind of lean operations, the state has done exceptionally well. We're typically around 48th or so in terms of the number of state employees per capita.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a challenge for the state to undertake, and kind of my hat's off to the legislative leadership for trying to figure out how to maneuver.
HB1.
Sure. Interesting story on HB1, the anti-rioting bill.
Yeah, it is.
It's been a priority of the governor as well as a House Speaker and the Senate President. It had been kind of hold up, and the reason being is part of the process. So the Senate bill was referred to the Criminal Justice Committee. That committee is chaired by Senator Jason Pizzo down from the Miami area, I believe. Former federal prosecutor, state prosecutor, a very centerline moderate Democrat, but had some significant issues with the bill, refused to hear it in a committee. Last week,
can I ask, yep. Was that the bill before it had gone through some reshaping?
Well, in a sense, yes and no, because
okay.
He's the first committee, so it did not, the bill that was presented to him had not been amended because he's the first committee. So he's kind of seeing what it is there, and he just has fundamental philosophical opposition to.
And so much so that even amending the bill, reshaping it, he didn't see any hope for it.
I'm not privy to the conversations behind the scenes between him and leadership, but he was not going to hear it in committee.
Okay.
So in kind of a leadership prerogative, Senate President Wilton Simpson pulled the bill and re-referred it directly to appropriations. It's something that I want to be very clear. He has absolutely the authority to do, the right to do. It's not done very often at all because, as you can imagine, generally speaking, Republicans and conservatives like the process. They like the fact that a bill has a process to go through to get to where it's in a posture for the chambers to vote on.
And wouldn't you think a bill that sort of has to do with criminal and justice matters should go through that committee?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it was referred to that committee. It just so happened that the chair of that committee in the Senate is a more moderate body than the House, generally speaking.
Okay.
It is, it's a smaller body, so you have a situation in which Democrats are chairs of committees and subcommittees. And so he had a philosophical position on that bill, and the Senate President, taking a leadership prerogative, did what he did.
What about transgender athletes? Where are
yeah,
we with that?
This one's an interesting one because I was curious as to how much traction this one would get this session. But the transgender athletes bills are moving through both of the committees, and now they're ready for the chamber floors. Kaylee Tuck on the House side and Kelly Stargell, who's the appropriations chair on the Senate, have the bills. The difference between the bills is the one on the Senate does allow if an individual has gotten surgical alteration to physically change them from a male to a female, they are allowed. I'm not sure how many individuals that would actually cover, in the sense of we're talking about mostly high school kids that this bill impacts in middle school.
Sure.
So, but that's the difference. And my guess is that they're going to figure out a way to get those bills in the right posture and get
DNA
them to the governors.
Testing.
It could be the case, but my guess is Kaylee Tuck's argument on the bill, her bill in the House, is going to win the day, and they're going to move that to the governor.
All right, we've got plenty more to talk about. We'll do that next. Sal Nuzzo with me from the James Madison Institute. It is 16 minutes past. A little check of weather, traffic, and more next on The Morning Show.
Time to FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
And iHeart's radio station.
Final segment, Sal Nuzzo, James Madison Institute, talking about the Florida legislative session. Dial into this stuff, folks. It impacts you. It does.
Indeed.
And so we talk about things that will impact you. Fines and fees.
Sure. Interesting dilemma that's playing out, and it's been brewing for several years, because the issue of fines and fees, if you're convicted of a crime, whether or not you go to jail, you may have a court-imposed fine or a fee. You have to pay that to the court clerk, develop a payment plan, whatever the case may be. If you fall behind on that payment plan, you can have your driver's license suspended, which I understand the carrot and the stick approach,
sure.
But at the same time, you have a system in which the kind of the penalty for falling behind causes you to fall further behind, because if you're not able to use your car to get to work, then you fall further behind, or you're in the position of where you're driving with a suspended license, which is another crime on top of it. Here's the crux of the challenge, though, and it's something that we've been articulating at JMI. We've been working with a number of folks to try and figure out how to skin this cat, so to speak. The court clerks, interestingly enough, a dedicated function of government around the state, do not get their budget funded by recurring dollars in the budget process. They get it from, guess what, fines and fees. So they end up having to use the carrot and the stick in order to fund their basic operations. It's a big challenge. And so while a number of groups have been, you know, kind of around the country even, have been passing bills to say, look, you can't suspend somebody's driver's license for failure to pay a fine for 1 month, you know, you want to get out and work with them on a plan to kind of get them whole, but you want to be able to let them get to work.
Work with the employer.
Exactly. Whatever the case may be. At the same time, you've got this funding structure that has been is a bit archaic in terms of how it impacts those it's needing to serve. So
right.
You've got Representatives LaMarca and Senator Jones, Bills 557 and 357. Six that are looking to do two things, I believe. It's going to try and get the funding stream righted in terms of how the clerks and courts operate, and then kind of move on the tail end of that to try and figure out how we can get a policy in place that you're not suspending driver's licenses.
I don't know why you just don't go the route of whatever the employer is, they pay them first. I mean, out of sight, out of mind. If it's taken out, it's like payroll deduction.
One of the challenges is I believe that a lot of the payment structures are done at the county level. So the state doesn't have as much control over that process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's done by each of the 67 court clerks, and some do exceptional jobs. Some, like in Palm Beach, actually have national program or model programs that other states have come in and said, how do you do this? Because their collections are so high.
Sure.
So, and then you've got others where it's just a struggle month after month, year after year. So that's one that we've been paying a lot of attention to. It's both an economic and a good government issue, as well as a criminal justice issue, because if folks are driving with a suspended license, they're committing a crime, and
absolutely,
they're running the risk of kind of upgrading their
parole violations,
exactly,
and so forth. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, what's coming up this week?
This week, it's kind of moving week now. We're past the halfway mark. We're moving into kind of let's get these bills through their last committees onto the floor.
Day three of the golf tournament.
Yeah,
moving day.
Exactly. And it's Masters week, so
there you go.
All right. So look for the Senate to take up some policy priorities from Spencer Roach and Ray Rodriguez on campus intellectual diversity. This is one where Florida is ahead of the curve on trying to ensure and measure that campuses are not just, you know, kind of avenues for free speech, but also have intellectual diversity among the students, among the faculty, and that that is protected. Jim Boyd, Senator Boyd, has been pushing a property insurance reform proposal this session, which is really a tort issue. But you have a situation in which if you have a roof on your property, on your home that is over 15 years old, it's basically uninsurable now because of the litigation environment. And so this would correct some things there. I mentioned Senator Ray Rodriguez. He's also got a pension reform bill that is something that is a priority of Senate President Simpson. They want to establish for new employees that the traditional pension program would be closed off. It would be all the defined contribution, basically the 401k style. Also, be on the lookout for a big win in the juvenile justice reform arena. HB 93, Senate Bill 274, which is expungement of juvenile records. You have to meet a set of criteria to have those records expunged. My friend over at FJJA, the Florida Juvenile Justice Association, Christian Miner, he's been working on this one for years. He's almost ready to pop the champagne, but I think it's going to get through. Senator Keith Perry has been just a radical champion for this policy as it's moved forward.
Good stuff. Thanks as always.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right. Sal Nuzzo with the James Madison Institute back with us next Monday here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
5 minutes and he'll give you something to talk about. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Major League Baseball pulls out of the ATL, huh? Chris Christie talked about this with George Stephanopoulos in a panel, and Chris was prepared. He's now on the board of directors, I think, for the New York Mets. And so he was asked about it. He came prepared with some quotes from Joe Biden, the campaigner. Joe Biden on Inauguration Day talking about, we need not let disagreements turn into war and blah, 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 right? And he was talking about the fact that Joe Biden was calling for, you know, civility and more unity and, hey, we can get along with disagreeing. It's okay. We need to work through our differences, blah, blah, blah. And then what does he do? In that same speech where Joe Biden talks about, you know, getting the facts out there correctly, he misstates facts about Georgia's voting record, and Christie just nailed him on it, points it out. And so when another panelist gets on there and starts talking about that 17 days of early voting isn't enough, Christie came prepared with Stacey Abrams' appearance with, what, New Jersey governor, was it Phil Murphy? Is that his name?
Possibly.
And Abrams extolling the virtues of 9 days of early voting in New Jersey. Look at New Jersey, 9 days. Georgia has 17. So Chris Christie just eviscerates the arguments being made, pointing out the hypocrisy of Joe Biden. The Stephanopoulos, to his credit, said President Biden made some misstatements of facts about the Georgia voting law. He acknowledged that. Good for George. George earned a modest amount of credibility back. course, he surrenders it virtually every time he speaks, but at least he gained some
he
back.
Got, he got one helmet sticker.
Maybe. It might have been applied with some, you know, some removable glue, a glue dot, you know, that you could peel it off.
Yeah.
We're taking that sticker. But it's insane. The woke culture. The cancel culture is not about Republicans denying responsibility for things that they're guilty of. No, it never has been about that. The cancel culture is all about hypocrisy and do as we say and not as we do and picking on people that you don't like. And that's why, you know, if you missed the Saturday show, Grant did a great commentary on the woke culture and how it is so important that you not go there. You know, if someone decides to be stupid in how they handle their business, there's a law of sowing and reaping. You make a personal decision, I'm not going to shop there, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that, and you just move on. This idea of canceling, you know, it's like I've made the decision that I don't click links to Facebook or Twitter. People have emailed me, hey, take a look at this. I don't. I write back and I say, I'm sorry if you can find it in another source. I don't click links to Facebook or Twitter. That's just a personal thing. You've not heard me, you know, organize some big boycott. You do what you do. I get that there are businesses that rely on Facebook for their exposure and promotion. Cool. Awesome. I know what I'm doing, and you haven't seen a post from me on the Morning Show Facebook page since the first of the year. That's just my personal decision. And that's how we ought to handle these things. Baseball, though, has started a chain reaction. And I'll get to that more next on the Morning Show with Preston Scott. That's my bump music back in because our system froze.
And it's back just in time for your bump.
We could have rolled out all kinds of beats.
I should have had like the backup computer prepared or something.
Boots and pants. Take me out to the ball game.
Not in Atlanta.
Yeah. Not 2-1 at the ATL.
I think we're 30 seconds away from a real call to change the Braves' name. I think that's this next step because everyone's focused on baseball in Georgia. We're 30 seconds away from that probably.
Well, you know, weighing in on the misinformation is now Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola's saying that, you know, voter ID requirement is limiting. Not for voter ID. This is a company that demands a driver's license or a passport to enter the shareholders meeting. Just let that effervescence sit in your cup for a moment. Coca-Cola is slamming Atlanta, Georgia, the voting laws of the state that require voter ID. In some form or fashion, you can get a free ID card from the state. You can even show a utility bill. I'm totally opposed to that. That's absurd.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
But they require for their meetings. See, that's the hypocrisy of the woke left. Do as we say, not as we do. But the beauty of all of this is that the boycott's forming against the Peach State. And I'm sorry for all of you Georgians out there listening to the show. I'm sorry, but this is what you all brought this on yourselves. Bunch of you stayed home, didn't vote in the Senate race. You've given this momentum, but now your senators. First, you've got the heretic, Raphael Warnock, who's trying to come back from a horrible tweet on the Easter message that he is regretting big time. May cost him his pulpit. I don't know. We'll see. It should. If a senior pastor were to tweet out anything like this at a church I attended, I'm out of the church or I'm making a motion. Sorry, I'm making a motion or I'm out of the church, because it was heresy that Raphael Warnock pushed out. But Warnock, Ossoff, and Abrams, the three musketeers of illiberalism for Georgia, are begging the cancel culture, please don't boycott our state. Please don't do it. Please don't, Major League Baseball, please don't. Well, the die is cast now. It's done. Major League Baseball did it. The law is not changing. And I hope Brian Kemp tells Major League Baseball, see ya. And it's just, it's shameful. But I go back to what Rand Paul said. When you boil all of this down, all of this opposition to voting law changes, all the opposition suggests is that voters of color aren't intelligent enough to follow the rules. That's the implied meaning in all of it. And if I am a minority voter, I am incensed at the implication. It's the same mindset that says we need to dummy down the rubric on grading tests for minority students because they're not smart enough to do it. That's the same rubric that once said blacks can't play quarterback in the NFL. And it was all, and it is all, hogwash. 46 minutes after the hour. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott. On the program, author Greg Wrightstone joins me. Talk about the Green New Deal buried inside the new infrastructure bill that the president wants. Another $2+ trillion. House Democrats want $3 trillion. President will settle for 2.2. See, that's the trick. I need $55 trillion. And I'll settle for four.
I was going to say, how about two?
That's how they do it. I want all of the absurdity. You know what it is? It's the four-year-old at Walmart that wants every toy in the aisle and screams and yells and yells and screams and throws a fit. And then mom or dad weak knees and hands them one toy. They got something. And they go, thanks. And then they file it away. And the next time they go to the store, same thing happens. That's Democrats negotiating in Congress. They demand everything and settle for just enough. Now, in this case, the just enough is trillions of dollars. You know, pretty soon we'll be talking about real money. But it's the way it goes. Kamala Harris. You know, I would think that Kamala would be all over the story, okay? She has been put as the point person for Joe Biden. You are, as my daughter used to say, you're the charge. You're the charge of the border, Kamala. President Harris, you take over. You run everything. You would think press conference immediately, right? You would think trips to the border. You would think she would be saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. Oh, no. She hasn't held a press conference since.
Well, she's taken after her boss.
She wants no part of it. Why? Because there may be somebody out there saying, you remember when you were calling for the abolition of ICE? Just wondering what your thoughts are now. See, this is an unmitigated disaster, and she cannot run from it.
Brought to you by Barino Heating and Air. It's the Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
Look back at the radio program in 180 seconds or less. Sal Nuzzo, James Madison Institute. Good look at the legislative session as it's unfolding. Make sure you check out Hour 3 of the podcast. Get a recap on that. Dr. Joe Camps talked to us today about HPV developments there. TPD Chief Lawrence Revel. Good conversation with the chief. Talked about a lot of different things, including the Dan Markell case. Big story in the press box. Major League Baseball following the woke culture into oblivion. Just remember the old expression, go woke, go broke. Baseball revenues are going to be hurt by its decisions to be part of the problem. Believing the mainstream media, believing what they report, not seeing for themselves what the Georgia voting law is. They should be applauding what Georgia did. And so what's happening now is because boycotts are forming against Georgia, led by Mark Hamill and some of the leading elites in Hollywood. Stacey Abrams, John Ossoff, Raphael Warnock are out there going, no. Don't boycott us. Sorry, it's too late. The woke crowd has gotten Georgia in its sights. And so it's feeding on itself. And that's what you find with illiberalism. Illiberalism will feed on itself if given the opportunity and the time. The problem is the destruction done in the process sometimes is irreparable. And sadly, that's kind of what we're seeing happen in our country at large. However, tomorrow, we'll do it all over again. We'll take the news and break it down the best we can. Until then, go to the blog page. You will love it. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.